Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil karim amma ba'd. Inshallah we'll have a dars of hadith from this kitab. This kitab is called Jami'ul Ulum wal Hikam. And it is written by a Hanbali scholar by the name of, his name was Abdurrahman bin Shihabuddin bin Ahmad bin Rajab Hanbali. But he was famously known as Ibn Rajab Hanbali, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And he is a scholar from the 8th century. He passed away in 795 Hijri. So the name of this kitab is Jami'ul Ulum wal Hikam, and it is a compilation of 50 ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 50 comprehensive ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This kitab initially was started by a scholar known as Ibn Salah rahimahullahu ta'ala, who is a Shafi'i scholar. Ibn Salah rahimahullahu ta'ala, he compiled 26 ahadith from the collection of ahadith that he thought were extremely important and beneficial. Then Imam Nawawi rahimahullahu ta'ala, who is also a Shafi'i scholar, he then took those 26 ahadith and added another 16 ahadith and made it 42. So he took the 26, added another 16 ahadith, and he made it 42 ahadith. And then Ibn Rajab Hanbali rahimahullahu ta'ala, who we were just speaking about, who is a later scholar who came after Ibn Salah, and he came after Nawawi rahimahullah. He then added another 8 ahadith, and in total this kitab has 50 of the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And like the name of the kitab is Jami'ul Ulum wal Hikam. Jami'ul Ulum wal Hikam means that these are those ahadith of the Prophet alaihi salatu wasallam that are comprehensive, right? That are jami'. Ahadith is jami' means that the words of the ahadith are seemingly very less, but the meaning is so broad and it applies to so many different things, and that is part of, you can say, the miracle of the ahadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is the kitab Jami'ul Ulum wal Hikam. Inshallah we are starting today, and there are 50 ahadith. Inshallah the intention is to continue dars of these ahadith so that we can cover all 50 of these ahadith. Now, one thing that we have to keep in mind is that the commentary for each hadith is very extensive, right? I mean, just on the first hadith alone, based on this edition of the kitab, just on the first hadith alone, there is approximately about 40 or 50 pages of commentary, just on one hadith. So obviously, the idea is to summarize some of the points that are mentioned here. We are not able to obviously go through the whole thing, because then that would take very long. But inshallah, I will try to summarize some of the important points that are mentioned by Ibn Rajab. Because Ibn Rajab, like I said, he added 8 ahadith, and then he made a commentary for these ahadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So the first hadith which we are going to discuss today is a hadith that is known to everybody. Majority of people know this hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. It's the famous hadith which Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala mentions in his Sahih al-Bukhari in the very beginning. And Imam Muslim and majority of the books of hadith, they have this hadith. The hadith of Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said that verily actions are based on intention, and each individual will reward. Each individual will receive a reward in proportion to the intention that he or she has made. So this is حديث الأعمال بالنيات, the famous hadith which is known to everybody. Then the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, من كانت هجرته إلى الله ورسوله فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, that person who will migrate for Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then his hijrat and migration will be considered for Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that person whose hijrat and migration is for the purposes of dunya, لِدُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا. So this person has made a migration, meaning he has left from one place and migrated and gone to another place or to another country. But the only purpose for that was dunya. لِدُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا. Whether it is, you know, for a better livelihood or whatever else it is. Then the Prophet ﷺ says, أو امرأتي ننكحها, or this person moves from one place to another for the purposes of marriage. Many a times people will move from one place to another to get married. فهجرته إلى ما هجر إليه. The Prophet ﷺ says, then the hijrat and the migration of this person will be for whatever intention this person has made. Now, this hadith has many, there's multiple different parts of this hadith here. And like I just said, that this is a famous hadith which is mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari. Imam Muslim mentions it. So there is no discussion about the fact that this hadith is a correct hadith. It's a Sahih hadith. And there are different, for example, Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala said that this hadith constitutes 1/3 of ilm. And if you take all of ulum, this hadith constitutes 1/3 of ilm. And he said that it relates to 70 different abwab of fiqh. Yani there are so many different masail of fiqh that are connected to this one hadith alone. For example, if a person, according to the Shafi'i maslak, for example, wudu. You know, there's so many different examples. For example, wudu. According to Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, for wudu, for a person to receive the full reward of wudu, what is the reward of wudu? The Prophet ﷺ said that a person who makes wudu to perform the salah and he does it correctly according to the sunnah, then all the 8 doors of Jannat are open for this person. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the sins of this person who is performing the wudu. So for a person to receive the reward of wudu, he needs to make the intention of wudu. According to Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala, if a person doesn't have the intention of wudu, but just happens to wash their face and the hands and all the limbs that a person washes in wudu, but they don't have the intention for wudu, the wudu of this person will not count, according to Imam al-Shafi'i. Likewise, when you have all the different aspects of ibadah, for example, salah, fasting, sadaqah, hajj, zakat, so many other masail, it relates to this hadith. Because why? Without making an intention, the act of ibadat that a person is doing, it will not count in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will speak more about that. And I'll share one thing that Imam Abu Dawood rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned. Imam Abu Dawood rahimahullah ta'ala says, Imam Abu Dawood has the famous Sunan Abi Dawood, the famous book that he has compiled. Imam Dawood rahimahullahi alayhi says that from all the ahadith of the Prophet alayhi salam, I chose 4,800 hadith which he has taken and written in his book, which is known as the Sunan of Abu Dawood. And it's available, you know, everybody has access to that. So he took 4,800 ahadith. And then he says further, he narrowed that down, and he says that from 4,800 hadith, he said there are 4 ahadith that are the basis of the deen. Yeah, they are like the basics of the deen. What are those ahadith? He says, number one, the hadith of Nu'man bin Bashir radiallahu anh, where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, al-halalu bayyinun wal-haramu bayyinun. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says that halal is something that is clear, there's no ambiguity, and haram is something that is clear, there's also no ambiguity. So halal is clear, that which is halal, that which Allah has made allowed and permissible, that is clear. And then you have those things that are haram, that have been declared haram, whether it is in the Quran or through the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. So those things are categorically haram and prohibited, so a person needs to stay away from that. There are many examples for that. Stealing is haram, zina is haram. There are so many things that are haram. So those things are haram, there's no discussion about that. And then there are those things that are halal, there's no discussion about that. If Allah has made something halal, then that is halal, it stays halal. Then the hadith of Nu'man bin Bashir radiallahu anhu, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, however, between halal and haram, sometimes there are those things that are in the middle. And you know, and this is known as the gray area. Black and white. Halal is white and, you know, black is haram. So those things are clear. But then sometimes there are those things that are gray, meaning that there is a chance that it might be halal and okay, and there's also a chance that it might be haram and it might not be okay. Why? Because there are conflicting opinions about that thing within the scholars, for example. Right? These are those aspects of the deen that the Prophet ﷺ says a person needs to be careful about. Because a believer, What is halal, he will consider it to be halal, he can do that. You can engage in that. That which is haram, a believer is going to stay away from that. Why? Because his iman is going to tell him that I cannot do these things, or I cannot eat these things, or whatever the case is. But it's those things that are in between which a person has difficulty understanding that is it halal or is it haram. Now why is it, what does it mean that these are things that are in the gray area? Like I just said, that sometimes you have something where there's conflicting opinions of the scholars. So for example, if you ask one scholar, the person will say, yeah, this is okay, there's nothing wrong with it. And then you ask another scholar, and that scholar will say, for example, that no, this is something that you need to abstain from because of, you know, these reasons, X, Y, and Z, or whatever the case is. Or sometimes you'll have something where you have one hadith of the Prophet ﷺ which says that it's okay, or it alludes towards the fact that it's okay. And then you'll have a conflicting hadith where the Prophet ﷺ says, or you might see that in that hadith it's mentioned that you need to stay away from that. So sometimes there's conflicting opinions of scholars, and sometimes the nusus means the Quran and hadith, they are, you know, they're apparently conflicting with one another. In those cases especially, a person needs to be careful. Now what is the way out from there? The way out from that is either a person has enough knowledge to be able to determine what is right and wrong in that case, which in the majority of the cases, we don't have that knowledge. So we don't have enough knowledge to be able to look at all those things, you know, for example, all those hadith that say it's okay, and then we look at all those ahadith that say it's not okay, and then we're able to reconcile and say that, okay, these are the reasons why it's not okay. So given the circumstances, it's okay. That is for somebody who is extremely knowledgeable as a scholar. And for that, the ulama say that a person needs to have so much of knowledge that they are considered a mujtahid. What is a mujtahid? A mujtahid is a scholar who has so much of knowledge of Quran and Sunnah that they're able to then look through the Quran and the Sunnah, and they're able to decide and determine that this is okay and this is not okay because of the vastness of the knowledge that they have. Like I said, in many instances, that's not the case. So then that leaves us with the second thing, which is that in those cases, we refer to the scholars. We refer to the scholar. Now, like I just said, sometimes one scholar will say it's okay. The other scholar is going to say it's not okay. So now how do you decide? How do you decide what to do? Is it okay to do it? Is it not okay to do it? Is it okay to eat it? Is it not okay to eat it? And likewise, it could be transactions. It could be so many other things. So in that case, a person, number one, should do some of their own research, right? You also look and try to understand. If you don't have enough knowledge, you refer to the scholar. And then you take the opinion of that scholar that you think is most correct, inshallah. That person that you have trust and faith in, you take the opinion of that scholar, and inshallah, you have fulfilled your responsibility in terms of that mas'ala. You have fulfilled your responsibility. You tried to understand it, you couldn't understand it, you referred to the expert, and you went and see what they have to say, and if they say it's okay, and they have sound knowledge, and you have faith in them, and you trust them, if you do that, then it's fine. If you stay away from that based on the fact that they're saying you should stay away, then you fulfilled your responsibility. But these are those aspects of the deen that a person needs to be careful about. And go forward only after a person has done some research. So that's the first hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. And then the second hadith of the Prophet ﷺ was إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, which is the hadith that we are speaking about right now. That actions are based upon intention. The third, Imam Abu Dawud رحمه ta'ala says, that is the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure, and Allah ta'ala accepts only those things that are pure. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِمَا أَمَرَ بِهِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ, and Allah ta'ala tells the believers that which He tells the prophets, which is what? What did Allah ta'ala give instructions to the anbiya? Allah ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الرُّسُلُ كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَأَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا. There are two things. Allah ta'ala said to the prophets, anbiya alayhi salam, this is an ayat of surah Mu'minun. Allah Ta'ala said that, O messengers, kulu min at-tayyibat, eat that which is pure. Eat that which is pure. When a person will eat that which is pure, which is halal, staying away from doubtful things, right? What is going to happen is that it will create within the person the urge and the ability to do good actions. وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا. These are two things that are connected. Whatever a person eats, based on the rizq and the food that a person is eating, that is the types of actions that the amal that will be produced from this person. If a person is eating haram, a person is eating doubtful, a person is eating everything and anything, that is going to hold the person back from ita'at and ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this to the believers. Likewise, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, Allah is pure and Allah accepts those things that are pure. Meaning what? That when we give something for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, sadaqah and charity, then the number one thing that a person needs to make sure is that the sadaqah and charity is from income that is halal. You cannot give sadaqah from haram income. The Prophet alayhi salam said that, وَلَا صَدَقَةٌ مِّنْ غُلُولٍ. You cannot have haram wealth and then you give that as sadaqah and charity and say that, okay, look, you know what? I'm giving it for a good cause, right? I'm giving it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, what's wrong with that, you know? Like I always say, you can't be Robin Hood. You cannot steal from the people that are wealthy and say, okay, I'm being generous to the poor people. It doesn't work like that, you know? There's no shortcut. You cannot have haram and then try to purify that by giving it to the poor and say, look, you know what, I'm giving sadaqah, it's okay. It doesn't work like that. Sadaqah and charity, the fundamental condition for that is that the income needs to be halal. It needs to be from pure wealth. Sadaqah that is given from income and money that is pure and that is halal is what brings reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it isn't necessarily the amount. So the Prophet ﷺ said that إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبُ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. So when a person is giving sadaqah and charity, then number one, it needs to be halal. And number two, of course, the intention has to be right. The intention has to be correct. And we are going to speak about that inshallah. The fourth hadith is, the third hadith. Then Imam Abu Dawud rahimahullah ta'ala said that the fourth hadith is مِنْ حُسْنِ إِسْلَامِ الْمَرْءِ تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِيهِ. The Prophet ﷺ said that part of the beauty of the Islam of an individual is that a person leaves those things that don't concern him. So part of the beauty of Islam of an individual is a person leaves those things that don't concern him, right? You have all of those things that concern a person. Concern a person means what? Not because you think it concerns you, but because it's an obligation upon you. It concerns you, meaning what? What does it mean that it concerns you? Because it is your responsibility. For example, to take care of the family, that is a person's responsibility. To earn a halal income is a person's responsibility. To fulfill the obligations of deen, that is a person's deeni obligation and responsibility. That concerns a person. We need to know about that, we need to fulfill that, and we need to work on that. And then you have so many other things that might be going on in society, but in reality it doesn't concern you, it has nothing to do with you. More than 50, more than 70, I would say even 80 and 90% of things that are happening, it doesn't concern a person, neither directly, neither indirectly. Right? You just look at all the social media feeds and all of the different things, and you know, you sim through all of those different things, you'll see 50 million things, but reality is none of those things concern you. Right? It's an overload of information. We are entertaining ourselves to death. But the reality is that it doesn't concern a person, right? And it's avoiding those things that will bring beauty to the Islam of an individual. Why? Because look, if a person will stay away from things that he doesn't need to do, that then creates time for the person to be able to do things that he needs to do. It's as simple as that. You only got 24 hours, right? You also have 24, I have 24, he's got 24. Everyone's going into 24 hours. Nobody's got 25, right? Nobody's got any miracles or some tricks that they got that, you know, time. Yes, barakah is a concept. Barakah is there. But reality is everybody's got the same amount of time. Now, it's up to you how you distribute that time. Right? On average, how much TV are people watching? On average, how much time are people spending on their social media? And nowadays, mashallah, the phone will tell you your weekly average report. Right? You even might get a daily report. But I know there's an average report because even on my phone, the average report will come. And it will say you were on social media for this long and you spent this much time on the internet and you spent this much time on so... So we get a report. Now you can just take it from there. How much time are we wasting? How much of that was necessary? And how much of that was just leisure? We just, you know, busy just scrolling and looking and entertaining and laughing and, you know, forwarding messages and Allah knows best, you know, all the different things that we are doing. Part of the beauty of the Islam and of an individual is that a person avoids those things. And then the time that remains, a person uses that for ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So Imam Abu Dawud rahimahullah ta'ala, again, we're not going into the depth of this, but he says these four hadith, they are the basis of the deen. Now, of course, we are talking about the hadith innama al-a'malu bin-niyat. What we need to understand is that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that verily actions are based on the intention that a person makes. The second part of the hadith is that which a person makes an intention for, that is how much reward a person is going to get. That is why Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say that a person will only get so much reward as much as an intention that a person makes. So what that means is that if a person does a good deed, for example, but they didn't make any intention, that yes, the good deed has happened, but it's possible that the person doesn't get any reward for that. Right? You can have a good deed, but it's possible a person doesn't have any reward for that. That is why the scholars have mentioned something very ajib. They say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورِ. Allah Ta'ala says, Allah Ta'ala created life and death, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ. So Allah Ta'ala can test you, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, to see who is it that does the best action. So Fudayl ibn Iyaz, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he said regarding this ayah that أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا means أَخْلَصُهُ وَأَصْوَبُهُ. What does that mean? He said that what this means is that what is it that determines if this action is the best of actions is two things. Number one is the sincerity of the person. So you can have the most beautiful of actions, and he says this here, he says you can have sometimes the most beautiful of actions apparently, but because the intention is not right, or you're lacking intention, because of that a person doesn't get any reward. Or what can happen is that the intention is very good. You can have the best of intentions, but the problem is that that action is not done according to the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Right? Again, the problem here is that the intention was very good, but a person did not do that action according to the sunnah. So Fudayl ibn Iyaz said, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا means two things. Intention is right, and also for that action to be accepted, it's extremely important that a person does it in the correct way. Right? If a person prays salah, for example, the intention is right, but they're praying at a time that it's prohibited, for example. Right? Like for example, when the sun is rising or when the sun is setting, exactly at those times, it's prohibited to perform salah. Now a person has got good intention. Oh, I'm praying it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why are you telling me I cannot pray? No, you cannot pray because the hadith is telling us you're not allowed to pray. So the action apparently was good, intention was good, but it's wrong. Right? So the important thing that the hadith is telling us is that a person needs to make an intention. And when a person makes the intention, that is when a person gets a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Now, what about those actions that don't require an intention? For example, a person eating or drinking or sleeping, or, you know, mundane activities that a person does, like for example on a daily basis. There are these things that a person doesn't need an intention for. Right? You can do that without making an intention. But the ajeeb thing is that even in these actions that a person does, if a person has the right intention, he will get reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person makes the intention, he will get reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullahu ta'ala, he said something beautiful. He said, أحب لكل من عمل عملا من صلاة أو صيام أو صدقة أو نوع من أنواع البر أن تكون النية متقدمة في ذلك قبل الفعل. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullahu ta'ala said that before doing any action, whether it is salah, whether it is zakat, fasting, hajj, all the good actions that a person can do, he said it is extremely important, and he says, I prefer that a person has the intention and then they do that action. Why? Because innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat. Whatever intention a person will make, a person will receive the reward for that. A person will receive the reward for that. And so that is the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, wa innama likulli imri'in ma nawa. And then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, that person who will make hijrah for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. What that means is that an action that is so great as hijrah, as great as a person migrating from one place to another. Why? To protect their deen. There was a point in time, like for example, in the life of the Prophet alayhi salam, before Nabi alayhi salam migrated to Medina, and eventually the Sahaba migrated to Medina. But before migrating to Medina, they migrated to Habasha. Right? In two instances, the Sahaba migrated to Habasha. And then Allah Ta'ala gave permission to the Prophet alayhi salam, and the Sahaba migrated to Medina. At that time, to migrate to Medina Munawwara was a dini obligation. In Surah Al-Anfal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَهَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آوَوا وَنَصَرُوا أُولَٰئِكَ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ, etc. There's many ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the importance of this hijrah that was done. So it was a dini obligation at that time. So an action that is a dini obligation that is done. However, if the intention is right, a person will get reward. But if the intention is not right, even in those circumstances, doing such a great action, it's possible a person might not get any reward. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was asked regarding a person who strives in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Sahaba, they came and said, Ya Rasulullah, a person is striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's only doing this, why? Because he is supporting his people, or he's doing it to acquire some wealth, for example. And there are different niyat and different intentions that a person could make. They said, Ya Rasulullah, will this person be considered striving for Allah? And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, من قاتل لتكون كلمة الله العليا فهو في سبيل الله. That person who will strive to raise the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his intention is only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no other intention, that person will be considered striving for Allah. Apart from that, you can do the greatest of actions, but because of the corrupt intention that a person has, a person doesn't get the reward for that. So you can imagine an action like that, then whatever is, you know, normal actions or smaller good deeds, the importance of making a good intention for that. And again, the importance of making a good intention, this is something that has been stressed in so many ayat of the Quran. In so many ayat of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the importance of making the right intention. And now, the question is, the last thing that I'll mention here is that if a person does a good deed, and the only intention of doing that good deed is to please other people, then the ulama have said that there is no reward for that, that is not accepted by Allah Ta'ala. And not only that, but there is likely a chance that Allah will punish the person for that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاؤُونَ وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَعُونَ. In Surah Al-Ma'un, Allah Ta'ala says that destruction is for those people who perform the salah. So notice that salah. They're praying the salah. But they are negligent of their salah. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Meaning that either they don't pay attention, or they delay the salah, they don't pray the salah on time. Then Allah Ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاؤُونَ. That the salah that they are performing, their intention is to show the people. Right? So even when they do pray, they're only praying to show the people. And this is exactly what Allah Ta'ala says regarding the hypocrites. Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى يُرَاءُنَ النَّاسَ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. That when they stand for salah, then they do it lazily, and the only thing that forces them to pray is that they can show the people that, look, you know, we are people that pray also. Right? We are people that pray also. So they don't have any intention to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For a believer, it is unlikely that a believer is going to do this action only to show the people. Any action, a believer is not going to do that to show the people. Which then brings the second point, which is what? That sometimes what will happen is that a person primarily has the correct intention, but shaitan comes and says, okay, but you know what? It's okay if the people come to know about it as well. Right? So the intention is right, but shaitan brings some corruption to that intention. Right? Initially it starts off with, oh, I'm doing this only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then slowly the intention shifts after that. Regarding these types of actions, some of the ulama and scholars say that even that action cannot be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they quote the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنَا أَغْنَى الشُّرَكَاءِ عَنِ الشِّرْكِ. Allah Ta'ala says, I am the most independent from any type of association. مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا أَشْرَكَ فِيهِ مَعِيَ غَيْرِي. Whoever will do any action and he will associate somebody with me in that action of his, Allah Ta'ala says, تَرَكْتُهُ وَشِرْكَهُ. I leave that person and I leave the action of that person. That is for whoever you did it for, to the extent that in the hadith it is mentioned that Allah Ta'ala will say to these people on the day of judgment that go and collect the reward of that action from the people you did it for. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. Right? Because the reality is that they cannot give you anything on the day of judgment for that. Nobody is going to be able to give you anybody anything for any good deed that a person has done, let alone the bad deeds. Cannot give you anything for the good deeds. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can reward a person. So because the intention was corrupt, Allah Ta'ala will say to this person that go, فَلْيَطْلُبْ ثَوَابَهُ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ. Whoever you did it for, you did it to please your friends, or you did it to please, you know, some other people, or you did it to show some people, or whatever the case is, whatever the intention was. It wasn't for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala will say to this person, go and collect the reward of that from the people that you did it for. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And then finally, respected brothers and elders, what happens is that sometimes a person does something only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but along the way, people come to know about that action. So you're doing something quietly. For example, you are doing certain acts of sadaqah and charity which nobody knows about, right? There's some people that you are supporting, whether it is, you know, some orphans, or whether it's, you know, some people in the community, or whatever the case is. Nobody knows about it. You continue to do it. And then somehow, some way, somebody finds out about that, and it becomes known within the people that, for example, so-and-so is helping so many people. But you never changed your intention. You never did anything to let the people know, right? It just so happened that people came to know about that, and people praise you, and they are happy, and they say, MashaAllah, like, we didn't know, subhanAllah, you're doing so much good work. If we knew, we would have also taken part in that, and so forth and so on. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is mentioned in the hadith, the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam said that when a person does a good action and their intention is only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then somebody comes to know about it, and they come to this person and they say that, and they praise the person, the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam said, tilka ajilu bushra al-mu'min, that is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another hadith, it is mentioned something here. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, a person came to the Prophet alayhi salam and said that, Ya Rasulullah, الرجل يعمل العمل فيسره فإذا طلع عليه أعجبه. He said that, Ya Rasulullah, a person does an action, he does it quietly, nobody knows about it. And then, if somebody finds out about it, they praise him, and that brings happiness to his heart. So Ya Rasulullah, the question is, Ya Rasulullah, is the intention corrupt now? The Prophet ﷺ said, لَهُ أَجْرَانِ أَجْرُ السِّرِّ وَأَجْرُ الْعَلَانِيَّةِ. The Prophet ﷺ said, this person will get two rewards. For as long as he did that action quietly, he'll get the reward of concealing that action. Then when people come to know about it, and now they feel like they want to do it, so it's an encouragement, he'll get the reward for that also. SubhanAllah. So for as long as he did it quietly, he'll get the reward for that. Now when people come to know about it, he'll get the reward for that also. And I'll finish with this here. Sahal ibn Abdullah Tustari rahimahullah ta'ala said, that look, when it comes to ikhlas, you see, look, ikhlas is what? Sincerity of the heart. Is that right? Ikhlas is to make the good intention from the heart. Sincerity of the heart. That is ikhlasul amal or ikhlasul niyyah. Ikhlasul niyyah means that to have sincerity in the heart and to do something only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Sahal ibn Abdullah rahimahullah ta'ala, he said something ajeeb. He said that the most difficult thing for a person to correct and for a person to work on is ikhlas. Why? Because there is no share for you in it. Ikhlas is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ikhlas is difficult for a person. Why? Because ikhlas is to do it only for Allah. You don't have any share from that. Your nafs has no share from that. You have no share from that. You're doing it only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is a here it's mentioned that Mutarrif ibn Abdullah rahimahullahu ta'ala used to make this dua. Mutarrif ibn Abdullah used to make this dua. What is the dua? Allahumma inni astaghfiruka lima tubtu ilayka minhu thumma udtu fi. This is a beautiful dua. He used to make this dua that, wallah, I ask you for forgiveness from those actions that I already repented from, but I started doing it again. Sometimes you repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from an action, and then, you know, something, you know, triggers that person, and you go back to doing that. Number one. وَأَسْتَغْفِرُكَ مِمَّا جَعَلْتُهُ لَكَ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِي ثُمَّ لَمْ أُوفِي لَكَ بِهِ. Number two, he said, Ya Allah, I ask you for forgiveness from that which I appointed and I wanted to do for you, but then I was not able to do it. Number three, وَأَسْتَغْفِرُكَ مِمَّا زَعَمْتُ أَنِّي أَرَدْتُ بِهِ وَجْهَكَ فَخَالَتَ قَلْبِي مِنْهُ مَا قَدْ عَلِمْتَ. And this is the third one, which is related to ikhlas and sincerity of intention. Wallah, I ask you for forgiveness from those actions that I wanted to do for you, but then along the way, my intention became corrupt. Ya Allah, I ask you forgiveness. Again, what is it? Wallah, I ask you forgiveness from those actions. Mimma aradtu bihi wajhak, fakhalatani fihi ma laysa lak. I intended to do it only for you, but along the way, my intention became corrupted because of whatever reason. Right? So maintaining ikhlas and to do something only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that a person continuously has to work on. Ikhlas is something that a person has to continuously work on. And respected brothers and elders, ikhlas, we need to work on making the intention and then maintaining the intention. There's two things. One is making the intention. Sometimes a person doesn't even make the intention. And you do... What I say by not making the intention is that, you know, you're on auto mode, you know, like autopilot mode. So you do things, you know, systematically without really paying attention to that. It's like, okay, going for salah. Like, okay, what do I have to think about that? No, of course you're going for salah. But if you make the intention, just revive that, just renew the intention, I am going for salah, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What am I going to get on that? For each step that I take along the way, sins are forgiven, the status of a person is raised, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become happy. Then you come to the masjid, you read the dua, you enter the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are so many things along the way that if a person pays attention to that, then a person will get the reward for all of those things. So number one is initiating the intention, making the intention, making sure that's only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then maintaining that intention. Maintaining the intention. Not doing something intentionally that is going to corrupt that action of yours. You did it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, leave it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why sometimes nowadays, you know, respected brothers, you know, sometimes I think about this and maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong, I don't know. Allahu a'lam. But a lot of the times, a person will do something, but then they're very eager to put it on social media straight away. So then the question is that who are you doing it for? If you did it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows. You don't need to put it on social media. So if you're putting it on social media, then is your intention to show the people? So no, I'm not doing it to show the people. My intention is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm just doing this to encourage the people. Okay, if that's your intention, Alhamdulillah. But because of this illness that we have now, that everything that a person is doing, a person wants to show people. You literally will go to the Kaaba, you go to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and instead of doing tawaf, people are busy taking selfies. You go to the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you're offering salam to the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam, instead of making offering salam and having devotion and concentration, you're busy taking selfies there. I am here. Okay, but everybody knows you're here. They know you're going for Hajj. Your whole family knows, your friends know, everybody knows. They came to see you off at the airport. And not only, and this is just one example, but likewise, it's become so common and widespread. Ilallahi al-mushtaka. We can only complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Sometimes, respected brothers and elders, we need to really, really, really look at our intention. We really need to introspect and go deep and dig deep down and think to ourselves, why am I doing this? Am I doing it only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If I'm doing it only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then let me leave it between me and Allah. It's between me and Allah. هَلَّكَ سِرٌ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا اللَّهِ. That those actions that are done for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا اللَّهِ, that nobody knows except Allah. هَلَّكَ صَدَقَاتٌ تَخْفَاهَا. And do we have those actions that only stand between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will become apparent to the people only on the Day of Judgment? Only on the Day of Judgment people will come to know that Nazir, mashallah, used to do all of these good amal, and so and so person used to do these amal. Only on the Day of Judgment, only when it will come to Allah rewarding that person, people will come to know. Before that, nobody knows, because the one that they did it for, he knows. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. The last ayat of Surah Al-Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ, that person who has hoped to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا, then let this person continue to do good deeds, وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا, and don't associate anybody in your ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are living in a time, respected brothers and elders, that, like I said, it is a time of, you know, exposure. And there was a point in time where the pious, and everyone was pious, they used to hide their good actions. They used to hide the good actions. Today, let alone hiding the good actions, we're living in a time where people are flagrant about even bad actions. Nobody cares about anything. There's no big deal. Like, nobody can say anything to anybody. So, you know, we'll put everything, post everything and anything. Whether the person is doing halal, haram, it makes no difference to the person. The world has to know. Everybody has to know. Right? So this is something that we need to work on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ikhlas and sincerity of intention. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to maintain the ikhlas and the intention. And sometimes, like Sahal ibn Abdullah said, that it's something that is extremely difficult. Some ulama will say that ikhlas is very easy. Why? The reasoning is that you need ikhlas in all the actions, don't you? So how can ikhlas be difficult? So some ulama will say ikhlas is something that is very easy. Sincerity of intention is something that is very easy. Because ikhlas is so badly needed in everything that we need to do, ikhlas cannot be difficult. That's one aspect of it. But the other aspect of it is, like I said, that because it's difficult to maintain sincerity all the time, right? The intention is, look, intention is something that a person makes in their heart, and the heart is something that you don't necessarily always have control over. Why? Because we are affected by so many different things. We're affected by the environment, we're affected by the people that we are with. And all of these things, they play on the emotions of an individual. And at the end of the day, that is what shapes the intention of a person. The people that you are with, the environment, the setting, and so forth and so on. All of these things, and they all have an impact on a person. So that affects the intention that a person has. So therefore we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to maintain ikhlas in our a'mal. And may Allah ta'ala allow us to make intentions, inshallah. Intentions, respected brothers and elders, is something that if a person makes an intention to do something good and he was not able to do it, even then Allah will reward the person. Right? That's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why in Arabic they say that niyatul mu'min khayrun min amalihi. They say that the intention of a believer is better than the action. This is a saying. First of all, it's not a hadith, it's a saying. Number one. Number two, what it means is that, for example, you made an intention to pray salah, or you made an intention to give some sadaqah and charity. That's it, you made the intention. But then you were not able to do it, you will get reward for making that intention. When you actually do it, when you actually do it, then of course the reward of that will be multiplied, because now you gave the sadaqah, you gave that charity, you prayed the salah. So the reward of that will be multiplied. But just making the intention, it gets a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore we have to get in the habit of making intentions. Intentions for the actions that we do on a regular basis, and also intentions in the sense that, you know, intentions for the future, right? Intentions of whatever good actions that we are able to do. And then to see how practical those intentions are, and then to work on it to try and materialize that intention. If you made an intention, for example, to do something, and then you didn't work towards it, that intention is not going to materialize. Person makes an intention to buy a car, but they're not doing anything. Person makes an intention to get an education, but they're not doing anything. Person makes an intention to work, but they're not working. I mean, you can make the intention, but if you're not working on that to make it materialize, then it's not going to happen. So likewise, making intentions for good things. For example, I want to do this work of charity, for example. Now you have to work towards that. That is when the intention will be materialized, and it will bring a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ikhlas and sincerity of intention. And may Allah ta'ala forgive us for all those instances in which we did something thinking we're doing it for Allah, but then the intention became corrupt. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. أمين يا رب العالمين وصل اللهم وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك واتوب إليك سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين جزاك الله